Lord, we pray now that your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we may hide it in our heart that we may not sin against you. Amen. I was just thinking of this. I read it the other day. I've just been thinking a lot about it. It's out of Ephesians 3, so a few places I'll go. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, or be giving you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in the inner man. Good thing, right? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of God, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with the fullness of God, right? That we want to be filled up with the fullness of God, okay? And what we sometimes, if we read that and just looking at it, we think, okay, well, I need to be getting something so I can learn how to be rooted and grounded in love so I'll know the depth, you know. But the way it really reads is that something that's already happened to you, okay? Because you're in Christ, you have been, and that's the way it's written even in the Greek and the verbs and all that stuff. You already have been rooted and grounded in the love of God, right? So Christ may be dwelling in your hearts, you know. That word means that he may be at rest and at home there. That if he's at home in your heart and he's dwelling as Lord, right? It's the only way he works. Then you are rooted and grounded in his love, okay? Comprehend means that you might seize it, that you may take what is already yours, all right? So I've just seen that through the years as, okay, Lord, I need a revelation of your love. And you almost see it like coming down to you, right? But you already have it within you, okay? So really cool, really important that God has already rooted and grounded you in the love of Christ. And if I want to be filled up to the fullness of God, right, if I want to experience the fullness of God, I can, because I contain the fullness of God in that area. I have been rooted and I have been grounded in the love of Christ already. Something that happened to me. Like when it happened and you're in Christ, you know, you do the deal. He comes to live within you. You're at that moment rooted and grounded in his love. So I can seize it. I can experience it now. So I can know throughout my life how big it really is. Okay. And just some other verses that go along with that. One in Romans. Familiar verses. Hope does not disappoint because, Romans chapter 5, if you want to go back and look at it, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Okay. For while we were still helpless at the right time, it says Christ died for the ungodly, and God demonstrates his own love to us while we were sinners. Christ died for us. Okay. So I was thinking, if the love of God has been poured out within your hearts through the Holy Spirit who we received, how much love was poured out in our hearts? All of it, right? All of the love of God was poured out through the Holy Spirit into you and into me, okay? And if you go back and read that, you know, even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. It's important to know that God loved you even while you were a sinner, okay? Because we think that God was angry with humanity. He was angry with everybody. And on the cross, his anger was poured out. No, his anger was poured out on sin. Right? Not only because Christ loved you as a sinner. Right? He loves us. Anyway, that's a side issue, just in case that, you know. But think about that. How much love has been poured out into my, because I may think in my walk with the Lord, or I may be watching Boris, you know, thinking, man, I want to grow like him, and, you know, God must love him more than he does me. Y'all ever been caught up in that, thinking that God may love somebody else more than he loves you? Or, isn't that crazy? The love of God has been poured out in fullness within you. Okay? Another scripture, John chapter 17, is Upper Room Discourse. Jesus spent his time there telling them, in that day, all this stuff's going to happen to you. He's talking about the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes down. This is what's going to happen. This is what it's going to look like. You know? Here's one of the last things he said. In chapter 17, O righteous Father, this is his prayer, although the world has known you, yet I have known you, All these have known you that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them, and will continually make it known to them, right, on that day, so that the love with which you loved me will be in them, and I in them, right? Even to know what it looks like even further, how much did the Father love Jesus, right? That same love that he loved you about is in you. Jesus said it's going to be in you. Exact same love. That God the Father will love you just like he loved me. And it'll dwell in every one of you. Okay? So that you don't have to attain something that you already have. You contain that. See? That much love. So no wonder the enemy always blinds us to that one, right? All right. Now we're going to work, kind of pound something out here. We talked one Sunday, the Lord kind of gave me a word out of Revelation, you know, the church of Ephesus. I just read from Ephesians, you know, and they kind of drifted away from that truth. And when the Lord was given John revelation to give this word to them, that they had left their first love, you know, and how to get back there was simple. He said, do the things you did at first. Remember what I told you, you know, start abiding in him because you have it within you. So to get back to the love of God, we think we've left our first love. It's just extremely simple. Start abiding. Because if you abide in God, you're going to abide in his love, right? That's what it says in 1 John. That's what we're going to read, 1 John, because as one of the just most powerful pieces of scripture here. And as John got older, historically, you know, he died in his 90s. He wrote the Gospel of John and the Revelation when he was in his 90s. You know, wrote the epistles earlier than that. But they would say when he would come and speak, you know, people would gather, oh man, this is John. He's going to give this powerful message. You know, he's going to teach us some stuff. Well, he would get up and say, love one another. And then he'd sit down. He'd be like, what? You know, we came all this way. And of course, within that, then, as we'll read here, you'll see. Beloved, let us now love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who is born of God and knows God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love doesn't know him, for God is love. That's who he is, right? And by this, the love of God was made real or became illuminated in us, within us, by God sending his Son into the world. Again, you know, it was all poured out in that, in him coming to live in us. That we might now live through him. And in that first scripture, I forgot to say this. First one I read to you is verse 7. For love is from God, and everyone loving from God, right? So, get the idea of all the love of God been poured into you, right? Okay? Now, what this is telling us is, now we've got to let all of that's within us out, okay? And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us and poured out his love in us in fullness, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love begins to mature in us, right? Begins to grow. What already is in you, you get to experience more of it, okay? By this we know that we are in him, that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Holy Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he's in God. Now we have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Okay? The whole abiding thing. You abide in God, you're going to abide in his love. If you abide in love, you're abiding in God. That word is just live in this type of atmosphere. By this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. We've talked about that before, in day of accusation when the enemy comes against us, because as he is, so are we in the world. Okay? Why? Because he's poured it all out in us. Again, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear always involves torment and punishment. The one who fears is not perfected in God's love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment that we have from him. The one who loves God should be loving his brother. Okay? It's the way it works. That we contain, I'll just bring this down to a real simple conclusion. All the love of God has been poured out within you. Right? You can't get any more of it. All you can do is experience it. Right? Okay? The same as that. He loves you like you love Jesus. That love lives within you, right? But to experience it, you've got to release it, okay? There are times when God, of course, your time with Him and your footstool time or whatever you call it, Bishop calls it footstool time, or your time with God, you know, He can give you a revelation of that, of how much He loves you. But it's really worked out in releasing it. And as you release it, love each other, right? Then you mature in it. You get perfected in it. The more I release it, then the more revelation I have of it for me, right? And it's casting out fear, and it's in the day of accusation when the enemy comes to accuse me and condemn me, I won't listen to it because I'm, you know, God's loving on me like He loved Jesus. I mean, I'm listening to this nonsense, you know? Like Romans chapter 8 says, who's the one who condemns you? Who's accusing you? Don't listen, you know? And he talks about the love of God there too. But as we release that, like we heard the pipe thing, you know, from both ends, then you'll be more rooted and grounded. You'll discover the height, the width, the depth of the love of God for you. All right? I know that's simple, but yet it's profound, you know? But how we get it. If you want to know the love of God, then it's simple. You abide in that and you give it away to each other, right? Over 90% of Scripture, when it talks about loving people, is not about loving people in the world. Did you know that? It's about loving the body of Christ. That the world will know that Jesus is real because of the love we have for each other, right? And that's the love of God. Now, does it tell us to love our neighbor as ourselves? Who is your neighbor? The person in need? Yeah, that could be a lost person, okay? And loving them into the kingdom is part of the deal. But when Scripture talks about loving, it's always, most always talking about each other, right? Because it says you can't, you know, that word hate is reject. You can't reject your brother who you see and say you love God. You're a liar, right? I mean, it's pretty plain. I love that book, 1 John, because it's just so black and white there. Because it's having to confront a kind of a new age teaching that we're confronting now, right? That's the reason he wrote that. You know, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness, you know? That's what he talks about if you go read the first, because he's trying to get them to say, hey, He's truth, and in Him there is no sin, you know? And if we can, all that cool stuff, go back and read it. It's just a wonderful thing. But there's always just that challenge of us to do that, because we're talking about revival here in Selma all the time, you know? And the devil's done a great job of dividing the body of Christ, right? Through, you know, denominational barriers. We all, you know, everybody knows the truth, and so because I know the truth and you may not, then, you know, I'm going to put up my fence, and it's just crazy, isn't it? And we just miss the most simple things that God is telling us to do. But one thing I know, and we've had several words people give that as the body of Christ comes together, you know, and begins to just worship Jesus, He's going to pour out His Spirit, right? So I want that greater in my life. I want that a greater release of that. And I fail all the time doing that, you know. But if you want a greater revelation of how much God loves you, just one, ask Him. Two, give it away, right? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, let's stand.